Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to An Axe to Grind with Trevor the Axe Gilmister. Gilly, how's it going, mate?
Good, buddy. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty well, although I'm a bit confused, and to be honest, I'm getting a bit... I feel like the NRL might be... With the Immortals, I feel like the NRL is just exploiting it a bit too much, and I feel like it, you know, last night, five Immortals named, three from pre-war, and then Norm Proven and Mal Meninga, all tremendous players. But the Immortals matters because it's exclusive, and now we've got 13, and there'll be two more in 4 years. I feel like they're threatening that exclusivity and threatening how important the Immortals is and why it matters.
Yeah, I disagree with you a little bit, because if those blokes deserve to be in there, they should be in there. There's no doubt about that. So I just kind of, I don't think it's a numbers thing. I'm happy that the NRL have taken hold of the Immortal situation and made sure that that's their little baby. And I think, you know, obviously... the pre-war blokes, obviously not a lot of footage of those players and stuff like that, so that's always going on people's opinions and things like that. Dally Messenger, for mine, he probably should have been in there from the start, shouldn't he? Because obviously he started the game off, and obviously I didn't see Dave Brown and Frank Burge. I've seen a little bit of footage of Norm Proven, and I was lucky enough to play with Mal Meninga, you can't argue with them. So, and the next time, mate, there might be only one or two, but obviously down the track there'll be obviously Cameron Smith, you know, Billy Slater, those blokes, Greg Inglis, but their names will come up as well. So you might go a couple of years, mate, and there mightn't be any, and then there might be. I don't reckon it needs to be two every time or three every time. There might be one. There might be four or five the next time. But anyway, who knows?
Well, this is the thing, right? We've got 13 now in 4 years. So 2022, they're saying there'll be two more. In 2026, there'll be two more and so on and so on. So we'll have 15, we'll have 17. So by 2026, we'll have 17 Immortals, when in start of 2018, we had eight. I just feel like, you know, the Hall of Fame is there for a reason, and that's to be more, to give more recognition to more players.
Yeah, I get you.
And I just think that, like, the Immortals is debated so hotly because it's so hard to get into it. And I agree with you that it's a good thing the NRL has taken over. And I like that they actually made it a formal presentation. Rugby League Week, when it was owned by Rugby League Week, it was very ad hoc. I like that there's a formal process.
It's picked by journalists, basically, then.
Yeah, so they would have got it right every time, you know. And the fact that there are, you know, footy players now picking it. Although I do wonder, with the pre-war, how do you select those guys? Because there's only a bit of grainy vision, and you really just got to go off the historians, I guess.
Yeah. That's a tough one. As I said, you take the thinking of the blokes who've seen them in their time, and it's passed down, isn't it? I suppose it's a bit of a history lesson on what goes on. You can only rely on those people and those journalists from those time, and then the journalists tell those blokes, and then the blokes who played with them, they speak as well. So you can only go by that and their records. And that's another thing with the records going on those days. I mean, they worked. Rugby league was a game they played on weekends, basically. They might have trained once a week those days, in the really pre-war days and stuff like that. And I always say this to people: how many really gun players never really got to play because they couldn't afford it, or they had to work, or... Those days, it used to take them 3 months to get over there on a boat on a tour, so they couldn't taken the time off.
That's right, yeah, that's interesting.
You know what I mean? So how many superstars we got lost those days, you know what I mean? So
especially Indigenous guys too, who, you know, would have had a whole other set of difficulties to try and play the game.
Right. Yeah. They wouldn't even, a lot of them wouldn't even got to the city, let alone overseas, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, there's, if your family had a little bit of cash, maybe you might have been a chance of going overseas on those long trips, you know? So, yeah, and I've spoke to some of the older blokes in the Kangaroo reunions that are a fair bit older than me, and some of the stories of them I've told of some of the blokes that couldn't go. They were better players than them, but they couldn't go because their family couldn't afford to have them away for 3 months or whatever it was, or probably longer than that, because they were the breadwinners of the family, so they had to stay behind. So, anyway, pretty lucky nowadays, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to put you on the spot here. So in this Queensland era of dominance, which you've played a role yourself, there's probably five players I look at who are Immortals candidates. Slater, JT, Cameron Smith, Greg Inglis, and Darren Lockyer. So there's five players through that era. Lockyer finished in 11. Not all five are going to be Immortals. You'd think maybe two or three. How many of those players do you think should be recognised with that status in the next decade or so?
Well, for mine, Cameron Smith's got to be in there. Darren Lockyer. Blokes, it's obviously there's conjecture on... people's perceived opinions, isn't it? Your opinion's completely different to mine, or sometimes there's people everyone agrees on, but there's always those fringe blokes that people, I'll toss someone up and you'll toss someone else up, you know what I mean? And we'll go, oh yeah, I think him and you think someone else. So there's always that bit of conjecture, especially on team sports, isn't there? You know what I mean? For sure. I mean, it's not like golf or running or boxing or swimming where your records just speak for themselves. Because, I mean, without the team sport, you know, I mean, without the other players, I mean, you don't get to do what you can do, can you? Cameron Smith's got to be, he'll be an immortal, no doubt about that.
I agree.
He's the standout for mine. See, another bloke, too, and he was the best front row in the game for, 10 years, Matt Scott, for mine as well. He's not going to be an immortal, but he's had just as much influence as quite a few other players in that squad that were around that time. You seem to think the front rowers and the forwards don't seem to get the same recognition as the halves and the, because they're the blokes who get their hands on the ball a lot more. So, but without those blokes, the halves can't do what they do. JT will be in there, I think, down the track. Just for his sheer competitiveness, you shouldn't be just in there for that. But, his record is phenomenal as well. So, I think those two are probably... Darren Lockie will be in there, no doubt about that, down the track. But probably I'll pick those three probably, down the track.
Yeah, and I think that's totally fair because sort of like that Dragons premiership side of the 60s, that's something we'll never see again, is that Queensland decade of dominance. And it deserves to be recognised, I think. But then again, it's bloody hard to leave out Billy Slater and Greg Inglis, isn't it? But you can't probably have five Immortals, so it's tough. I personally think Lockyer should have been made an Immortal last night.
Yeah.
Or, I just think he was the best in the game when he was fullback, and he was the best in the game when he was 5'8". There's very few, if any, players.
Too many people do that, do you?
No, in two key positions, and he was the best. I mean, a lot of people say that Billy Slater revolutionised fullback play, but I think it's Darren Lockyer that revolutionised that out-the-back playmaker style of fullback. I mean, you saw the best of both of them.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be involved with them when they were first coming through as youngsters, especially in the Queensland side. And, lucky just for, they're both not very big blokes, and just so durable and tough as nails. And it probably shouldn't come into it, but the way Billy's come back from his shoulder as well,
Oh, phenomenal.
The toughness, and Lockie used to get knocked around a fair bit as well. And, as I said, it's it's all always subject to people's opinions, and you know, that's why we love it. It's kind of it's debatable, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right, and that's the beauty of rugby league. I think more, you know, perhaps AFL in Melbourne as well, but unlike rugby union, rugby league types really embrace debate, which means there can be probably more negativity about the code than at other times.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
at the same, it also keeps us engaged. I mean, just on the Immortals again from last night, Norm Proven and Mal Meninga.
I went back to my room at the academy and set a goal. I wanted to play for Queensland. I wanted to play for Australia. I wanted to play for Queensland. You know. Went in 1979 as an 18-year-old kid, and people laughed at me when I told people, but it didn't deter me.
Norm Proven and Mal Meninga awarded.
Yep.
You're happy with that? I mean, I'm certain you are with Mal, but
I mean, I was a Saints supporter as a kid, and I kind of, you know, only got to watch bits and pieces of replays and stuff for Norm Proven to do what he done. You know, I mean, what did he play? You know, 30-odd games for Australia and 25 or around games for New South Wales and close to 300 games for St George. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's and captain. Well, he captain coached, actually, as well. So, that's
11 consecutive premierships, and he played in 10 of them, the last five as captain coach, which is pretty amazing.
Well, Not many people can say they won 10 grand finals, isn't they? In a row, isn't they? I mean, quite unbelievable, as I said. But I've met Norm quite a few times, and a lovely fellow. Obviously, that doesn't come into it. But I mean, he's just a out and out lovely bloke. So yeah, it's good to see him get a start in there for sure. And Mel, I mean, I'm biased. I've had a lot to do with Mel over the years, and to do what he's done as well. You know, everyone says about his coaching and that stuff now, but I mean, his playing record was phenomenal as well. So, I was in the Fogg's office the other day, and Gino, myself, I had talking, and Johnny Rebo and Gordon was in there to come in there, and we congratulated Gordon. You know, and we're just saying it. It's amazing though, the Brisbane games never get brought up. And Gordon was saying, he said, what happened in the Brisbane days in the 80s? I said, well, mate, I couldn't believe how clean the Sydney comp was when I first went to Sydney. I said, because there were cameras at all the games. So where in Brisbane, the only match of the round was obviously at Lang Park. That was really the only game that got filmed. So, mate, it was a bloodbath, the other games. It was, mate, I couldn't believe when I first went to Sydney how clean the footy was. It was faster, but it was nowhere near as brutal as the Brisbane comp. And I think, I'm thinking, when I first got to Sydney, I'm thinking, how good's this? You can run around here with someone not trying to take your head off, you know. So.
But how bad is it? I can't throw a little rabbit punch in a tackle, and otherwise it'll get picked up.
Well, yeah, I mean, the games are clean, the cleanest it's ever been nowadays. But, I mean, but going back to the Brisbane games never get counted into.
No,
so Wally Lewis supposedly played 50 or 60 games of rugby league. Well, he played a lot more than that, you know, because, I mean, that's not counting Origins, and they've got him down as playing 60 odd games or something, you know what I mean, which is complete bull because he played with the Broncos when they first kicked off in the Seagulls, and then they only count them games where he's played for Valleys and Wynnum, and you know, for a long time, long time. You know what I mean? So that ain't get a run in that. And there's another bloke that that I hold him just as high regard as Wally and Mal is Gene Miles.
Mm. Yeah, why doesn't he get talked about in that sort of rarefied air? Same with Alf.
Yeah. I mean, it was good to see Alf get a little bit of recognition, but for what he done, but. Yeah, Gino was unbelievable. I was probably lucky enough. I'm not 100% sure either 10 or 12 or whatever it was, Origin games with Gino, and he was unbelievable. So, and he was ruthless on the footy field, Gene Miles, I can tell you. And what a combination him and Mel forged together, you know, in the centres. I remember my first Origin and playing in the back line was bigger than the forward pack. With Mel and Gene, and Wally's not a little man either, you know what I mean? So, yeah, we're pretty fortunate in those days. Yeah, but Gene's right up there, mate, with the best of them. Don't worry about that.
Yes, see, Gino was a little bit before my time, but Alf wasn't. And I always think that Alf should be an immortal. He was the best halfback for a decade. I saw Wayne Bennett give a couple of quotes, and I actually agree with him. He basically said if Alf was a New South Welshman, he would be an immortal. And maybe not if he was a New South Welshman, but if he'd played down in Sydney, they would have respected him and understood him more, I think.
Mate, I'm biased. He's one of my best mates, so, and play a lot of footy together. I reckon he should be, but, you know, they'll say I'm biased, but, and I probably am.
So. But you also witnessed him.
I don't care.
You also witnessed firsthand just how devastating he could be for his size, and he changed the game. That's what I think really matters. He changed the game.
He's short, little, and I'll tell you, and played a lot of footy with him, and he didn't have he couldn't throw a long pass. He couldn't kick very long, Alf. But what he did do, he short passing game, he's dummy, he's little grubber in behind. He'd reverse kick the ball. He used to play a lot of indoor soccer at the police academy. That's where he got all that from. Lose the inside of his foot for grubber kicks, and if he could running one way and kick it back the other way, and you know, get the fullback off guard. But yeah, I mean, he was tough as nails too. Again, little fella, we made our Origin debuts together, and it was so good having him there because everyone was saying I was too small for the forwards, I was going to get killed, and Elf should have been the ball boy. You know, so they took the pressure off me. But
I remember actually played a bit of a charity touch game with Elf about 4 or 5 years ago, and he still had it—that ability to throw a short ball to put a bloke in the gap at the exact right time. It was just quite amazing to see this bloke who would not run very fast, and all of a sudden the defence was just confused.
Mesmerised, yeah. I mean, you just reminded me, I was so lucky years ago when I was at the Roosters down there, and Arthur Beecham was the coach, and we used to have the Queensland Blokes, you'd have a play bit of touch footy with Arthur's team on a Saturday afternoon, and Arthur used to play, and Arthur was pretty big those days, and all he had to do was run into a hole, and Arthur'd hit you. You know, every time it was unbelievable. So I can understand the blokes that used to say how good the old Roosters blokes, Ronnie Coote and Russell Fairfax, that used to that say to me how good it was to play with Arthur. They said you just run into a hole. He said he'd hit you every time and make you look real good.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Gilly, let's talk a bit about the Tons. They're in the news again this week. Garth Brennan has had a meeting with Corey Norman, the Eels playmaker. The Eels have told Corey, look, we are not sure if we want to keep you moving forward, even though you're under contract, as happens more and more in rugby league these days. You're free to explore your options. And Garth is keen on getting Corey. Do you think that's a good buy for the Titans?
Yeah, I do. I think he's gone a bit stale at Parramatta, and he's had a few injuries too, no doubt about that. But interesting, Michael Gordon said he wants to go around next year, and they're going to try and shore up a deal for him for next season. And I mean, he's been very, very good for the Titans.
He really has.
I reckon Corey Norman would be a good fit. I mean, what position he'd play is another thing. I mean, so.
But you're right with Michael Gordon. he's been sensational. He and you know, I see they're keeping Anthony Don, which is good too. They've got some good players there. You've worked with them a bit. They have some good talent. They're just probably three or four players off being a finals team.
No, you're right. And if they could, I know this doesn't sound much, but if they could get a little bit like some third party deals as well to go in, they might just be able to get that quality play there a bit more. You know what I mean? And which you know. Some clubs don't have the luxury of that, but
other clubs such as the Broncos
Michael
do.
Gordon, you know, kicking goals.
The only other issue I've heard with Norman is that the hierarchy, Graham Annesley, isn't so sure about him off field. You've had a bit to do with him over the years. What do you mean? He seems like a pretty good fella to me.
Corey Norman.
Yeah.
Mate, he's a bit of a larrikin. He loves a good, loves a laugh and a joke, and you need blokes like that in your team. You know what I mean? Maybe his early days there, a couple of times at Parramatta, he might have been mixing with the wrong crowd, and I think a lot of people have done that before, and you know, and go, oh yeah, and then they realise, and he's matured. His name was getting tossed up a year or two ago, just about playing Origin. You know what I mean? So I think he'd be a good boy for the Titans. Got that. Bit of swagger about him when he's playing good footy. I think he would be a good boy.
You were there at the Titans as an assistant coach when they were at their best, a prelim final, 2010, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Against the Roosters. How do they get back to that? Like, I'm always confused what happened, you know? Like, they were so good so fast. With you and Cardi there and Princey, I know they had good players. I just don't understand why you were able to get such quality players then, but since, haven't really been able to.
Yeah, I mean, but you can see how quick it changes. I mean, have a look at Parramatta, you know what I mean, from last year. Look at the Bulldogs, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and the West Tigers are a bit of a basket case, and, you know, obviously Ivan Cleary comes in there and changes a few things, and yeah, it can change very quickly, or, you know, you go into the positive, but you can go into the negative very quickly as well. So, it's a tough one. I mean, you need to keep when you haven't got the quality of depth like a lot of the other clubs have, and the best players. You need luck with injuries, and that 2010. You know, we had four bugs go down in that game against the Roosters in that semi final, and you know, you get busted, and then the next couple of years, the two last years we were there, we used 34 players.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do that. You know what I mean? So you look at any competition, anyone who wins a competition, they normally use around, you know, 21, 22, 23 players. And if they're going really good, they might be able to give a couple of young blokes a bit of an education, give them a game. If they're going pretty good with injuries, give someone a break.
Yeah, look at the Dragons this year. They've probably only used 20, 21.
Exactly. And that's what you need. And people forget that. I mean, they just see where you're situated on the ladder and they don't really care. That's when you need a good, really good CEO and good football management that know what's happening with your club and your team. And so they can go, well, you know, it was just one of those years. We just couldn't put, you know, we just couldn't do any, put our foot right there. We got injuries and injury after injuries. So, I mean, and a lot of the public don't see that. They just see where you are on the table. So they don't care. It's all about winning. They don't worry about the consequences in between. So anyway. But, yeah, that's footy, mate. And that's, as I said again, about before, about the Immortals. Everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah, absolutely right. And speaking of opinions, Bulldogs, Broncos tonight. Gilly, who's your tip?
Yeah, it won't be easy. I think the... I tip the Broncos, but they won't have it all their own way. We're kind of... They're starting to find a little bit of form under Dean Pay, and I feel sorry for Dean Pay. I've said it before about all the Bulldogs and Manly, you know, all the salary cap dramas, and they can't... Manly can't buy players, same as the Bulldogs had to jettison some players because they're over the salary cap for back-ended deals and stuff like that. So that plays a big part as well. Their back row for the Dogs, though, Jackson, Martin and Elliott. But Reece Martin, I think he's only played 9 or 10 games. He's going to be a fair player.
Oh, he's a good one. I like him. He's a footy player, isn't he?
Exactly right. Now, if he can stay healthy, he'll be a really good player. So I think the Broncos will win. Geez, they wouldn't want to be taking the Dogs lightly, mate, because they've really got nothing to lose, and a few of them are playing for contracts. And Wally's nephew Lachlan Lewis, he's starting to go well too.
It's good to see him kick on. I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's a nice kid too.
Because he's only a fairly small bloke, and he's kind of defence last week was pretty good, I thought. We'll see how he goes, week in, week out. That's the hardest thing when you're a young fella, when you first come in, is doing it every week. They got nothing to lose, the Dogs, so I think the Bronx will need to be on their game.
If the Bronx lose this, they won't make the four. It's that simple. So they have to win if they want to make the four. And if you don't make the four, you don't win the premiership. So.
Well, they got a little bit lucky last week.
They've been lucky a lot this year, Gilly. They really have. I think it's something like 10-plus games now. They've won by 9 points or less, with a few favourable referee decisions as well. I'd say they've had more luck with the ref than any other team.
Well, I mean, that's what... I remember playing years ago at different grounds, and, mate, you knew... And it's the way it is, when especially those suburban grounds... Leichhardt Oval and obviously Belmore and stuff like that. You knew when you were going there, you're never going to win the penalty count. you knew that, and the coaches used to tell you that, So get your head around not winning the penalty count, because the crowds, put pressure on the referees, and that's fair enough. I've got no problems with that. Referees reckon they don't get intimidated, but they do. When the crowds are booing all the time about someone being off, the other team being offside, of course, it puts a bit more pressure on them.
Makes your second guess go, hang on, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah, that's right. And they seem to look some more. So, more than that. But anyway, that's footy. And, I'm really liking, what some of the teams are doing at the moment, especially the Rabbitohs. I think they're starting to storm. That's one of the games of the season for mine.
Who's your tip there?
Well, I tipped the Storm only because... Cameron Smith's fresh. That's really basically the only reason. And the Rabbitohs, a lot of their blokes are just getting over Origin. Players, and especially mainly Damien Cook, Angus Crichton, Dane Gagai, a couple of those blokes, obviously, they're still getting over Origin. And obviously Sam Burgess, obviously Johnny Sutton, those blokes, I think they... they're the key to the Rabbitohs for mine, because they've got to match the Storm forward pack, around the ruck especially. So, I'm looking forward to seeing that game. I think that'll be a cracker.
The other one tomorrow is Tigers and Knights. Who's your tip there?
Yeah, interesting. I've tipped the Knights to put the Tigers to bed, because I don't know. They're back at home. They just got beaten by the Cowboys last week. They got out of jail, the Cowboys. I'm probably leaning towards the Knights, mate, but I'm not real confident either way there.
And then we've got, it's actually a quite important game, this Dragons versus Warriors on Saturday. Warriors need a win, just keeping that eight to make. Look, they'll probably finish in the eight regardless, but they still need a win so they don't finish eighth and have to face
maybe. Full credit to the Titans last week against the Warriors, but they were woeful.
They didn't show up. Here's a tip, Gilly. I reckon no team should have a camp on the Goldie before a game. I don't think you ever win if you... The Warriors came early.
The false sense of security.
Yeah, they came early. They had a nice time. You see, it was Super Rugby teams. They plonked down there on the Goldie, and they, it's Cavill Avenue, it's the Gold Coast. Your mind drifts. I think that's what happened with the Warriors.
I actually remember going there with the Roosters years ago, and used to get off the plane and there'd be bikini girls handing you pamphlets or saying which bar that to go to that night.
And you collected them all.
I might have got to one or two. But after the game, I think the Dragons will bounce back themselves. But the Warriors, mate, they need to be a bit better than what they were the other night. They were dreadful. Sean Johnson, he needs to lead the way there. I mean, you know, obviously Roger's the, you know, the fullback and he's the captain, but I mean, Sean Johnson needs to take more control. I think Isaac Luke, he didn't play last week, so he'd make a big difference coming back. If he does, they've named him, so not sure if he's playing, but he'll make a big difference as well.
Yeah, I didn't think the Dragons were that bad in that loss to the Roosters last week either. I just thought the Roosters were sensational.
They're red hot, the Roosters. And as I said, as I said to you last week, I think the Roosters are the team who got more improvement in them than anyone else. You know what I mean? So, and I haven't changed my thoughts on that either.
Yeah, I get the feeling if every team's at their best, it's a Storm Roosters grand final.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I mean, the Dragons were on fire early in the piece, weren't they? You know what I mean? So, and the Rabbitohs, mate, I wouldn't discount them just yet, but because they've basically nearly had their best side on the park for, you know, majority of the year, the Rabbitohs. They haven't got too many injuries. Greg English to come back, though. You know what I mean? That's a huge in for them.
Massive.
Yeah, so, I mean, he'll be as fresh as a daisy. Don't worry about that. So that'll be a big plus for the Rabbitohs when GI comes back, mate. He'll be jumping out of his skin. So, it's not a bad inclusion for him, is he?
No, and we'll just rip through these last ones because they're all pretty inconsequential. Eels versus Titans?
Well, they got to go back-to-back. I'm tipping the Titans, actually. So I think they'll get some... good confidence out of last week, beating the Warriors, but they've got to go back-to-back. Their forward packs is nearly as good as any getting around, isn't it, really, on paper?
Yeah.
Mate, AJ Brimson, geez, he's going good, isn't he, young fella?
Well, that's the thing with Corey Norman coming is that AJ's natural position is fullback, that could open up that, but then you've also got Michael Gordon. But, yeah, he's a really good-looking footballer, eh? He's just can play what's in front of him. He's tough. Yeah. He has a go.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. Yeah, I mean, either team could win that one. No doubt about that.
Roosters, Cowboys?
Yeah, I've got to go to the Roosters on that one.
Yeah, even without Luke Keary. Latrell Mitchell, how amazing was he last week?
Oh, yeah. Well,
how would you tackle him? What would you do?
I'd probably take a shovel out with me. because he's pretty good at leaning forward, be able to bump blokes off as you go. You got to drop really late on them blokes, as late as you can.
Fake high and drop low.
Yeah. And it's easy when you're short. but when you make it as if you're going to go high on them, and then you got to drop late, as late as possible. And you hit them in the thighs, and in the thighs or in the rib area, so it kind of takes a bit of sting out of them down the track. But anyway, yeah, best luck doing that, though.
Yeah, well, I was surprised because Ewan Aitken's a good defensive centre, and he was just owned.
I replayed that. He was a bit upright, and he just had his feet side by side. So you've got to have one leg in front of the other. So easier said than done, though.
Yeah. Cronulla and Manly in the Shire.
Disappointing. I don't know how they got beaten last week, the Eagles. Unbelievable. Poor old Trent Barrett. I think the Sharkies, mate. I think that would have destroyed their confidence a bit. No, Tom Dvojevic, we've never seen him do that again. That's the worst game I've seen Tom play. He'll play better than that because he's a better player. He would have been shattered. Tom, you know, the ball get knocked out there in the last couple of minutes. You know, but I think the Sharkies. I think the Sharkies will knock Manly off there, especially at home. Valentine Holmes, how good's he playing? So, I think they'll be pretty hard to beat there, the Sharks.
And finally, the Panthers.
Actually, back on that, I hope he is back in Wade Graham. I love him as a footy player. He's, as I said, he's not an athlete, he's a footy player. And, you know, down on that left-hand side, he's got that, they go two pass, three pass, he can put that little kick in. They missed him terribly last week, Cronulla, against the Broncos. So, I'm glad to see him back for Cronulla.
Well, he's been named in this to start. So
he's had a bit of a groin injury or something, hasn't he?
Yeah, and they've also got Josh Dugan, who's a chance of coming onto
the bench. Supposedly on the bench, yeah. So they got a couple of blokes coming back for them. So they need to stay up there. The Sharkies, are what, they're 26 points, so they need to stay up there. So because they got a few blokes coming back as well.
And then finally, we've got the Panthers and the Raiders. The Raiders were pretty handily beaten last week against the Storm.
Yeah.
The Panthers just came out of the clouds.
Well, the Panthers should beat the Raiders. I mean, if the Raiders come out and play that carefree style of footy, toss the ball around, and it could happen. But they, 9 times out of 10, the ball hit the ground for them. So, I think the Panthers probably win that fairly comfortably, I'd say.
No worries. Well, thank you very much, Gilly, once again, mate. Have a great day.
Cheers. See you, Chris.
See you, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.